It is so good to see you. Thank you for being here today in Conquer Sunday School class. This is May the 15th, 2022, the middle of the month. And we are finishing up this series of lessons we've been working on. It's entitled From Forgiveness to Faithfulness. And today's lesson, lesson number 12, it is entitled Faithfulness in Ministry. Faithfulness in Ministry. The verses we're going to look at today come from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I want you to turn there with me just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And Paul wrote these words to Timothy. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I want to say this. This is the thought that we can sum up our lesson today with, just this one simple statement. In all that we do or say, may our Lord find us faithful. I remember Michelle Stainer Gregory used to sing this song a lot when she was here. And she would sing that song about reminding us to be found faithful. And I want us to look at this today. If you got your Bible, and I trust that you do, turn to Romans chapter 14, verse number 12, just a moment. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. And in this verse, we read these words. The Apostle Paul wrote, so then every one of us, that is individuals, folks, that's not churches, that's not groups, that's every individual. Romans chapter 14, verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And when you think about that, that is an awesome thing to think about. That is something that not many Christians think about one day. Everybody's praying, Lord, please come back. Take us out of this place. But you need to remember, when the Lord does come back, He takes us home. We're going to stand before Him accountable unto Him for our service unto Him. Now, as we saw in our lesson last Sunday, we studied about faithfulness unto God and how it needs to be seen and how it needs to be seen especially in the light of apostasy that's going on in our world today. Folks turning away from truth. Folks that know truth and yet turn away from truth. That is apostasy. And they turn away from the things that are right. And last week we saw how that the Apostle Paul urged Timothy to continue in the things that he had learned and had been assured of, having known whom he had learned them of, and that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures that were able to make him wise unto salvation. No doubt there had been many in Paul's day, and even as there is in our day today, who had defected from the truth. They had turned away from truth. They had forsaken the truth of the Word of God. And they had been duped into thinking, you know what? I don't have to worry about doing this for God. I don't have to worry about that. I don't do this. And they forgot that one day they're going to stand before God accountable. And because Paul knew this, he wanted Timothy to understand, listen, Timothy, I'm about to leave this world. My life is about to be taken from me. My head is about to be severed from the rest of my body. And Timothy, you've got to continue on teaching truth. Folks, today, you see it in our social world. You see it in our political world. You see it in churches today. Folks do not want truth. They don't want truth. They don't want truth that abortion is murder. They don't want truth that sodomy is wicked and an abomination in the sight of God. They don't want truth that sin is what keeps us separated from God. Folks today want to think that they can do anything and everything they want to do, and God's going to say, oh, it's all right. Folks, that's not the way it is. They don't like truth. But folks, because we know truth, we're going to be held accountable for that truth. And you don't want to stand before God knowing what you should have done, and you chose not to do it. The Bible said in James chapter 4, verse 17, I believe it is, he said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, you choose not to do it. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You better vote against sin. Amen. Listen, I had folks ask me, they said, I bet you're this party or you're that party. I said, listen, that's not got anything to do with it. Well, how did you vote? Let me tell you how I voted, folks. And this is how you need to answer, folks. I voted biblically. I voted biblically. If God's against it, guess what? I'm going to be against it too. Amen. And you know what? If you're voting any other way than that, you better remember. So then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. Now, I'm not trying to get into the political mode, but I'm just telling you, we are responsible today. And our world today has a problem. It's not a political problem. It's a heart problem. The heart of the matter is the matter with the heart. And what you and I have got to do is choose to win people to Christ, teach the truth of the Word of God, be found faithful in ministry. Paul knew that because his days were numbered, that he was going to be gone off the scene. And many of us, you and I today, we don't know what the future holds for us. We can be off the scene just like that. But folks, while we're here, we need to stand faithful. Now, you'll remember, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 just a moment. Last week, we looked in these verses, the week before it last perhaps. Paul made Timothy to understand the fact that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Boy, we see that today, don't we? They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And he gives this admonition. He said, from such, turn away. Get away from them. Stay away from those type of people. He went on in that third chapter last week to warn of the wicked and the pernicious ways that the men's hearts would be in the last days. And he warned Timothy in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 3. He said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Folks, if you live for the Lord, if you stand up for truth, if you stand up for righteousness, you're going to suffer persecution. You might as well face that today. Listen, if they did that with Jesus, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, and they crucified him, what do you think they're going to do to you and me who named the name of Christ? Sad to say, that's why many folks refuse to stand. They don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to face the controversy. They don't want to face dealing with issues of truth. But folks, it has to be dealt with. You deal with it today because God is going to deal with it later in the future. Amen. He's going to deal with it. But he said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But then he challenged Timothy here in the last few verses of that chapter. He wrote to him, he said, but you, Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And folks, listen to me. When facing the challenges of modern day apostasy, when facing the challenges of all these things, you and I have got to choose to do the same thing. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. How do you do that? You get in the book and you allow the book to get in you. Amen? You allow the book to get in you. It's through the Word of God. It's through His Word that we're able to stand. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us that we're able to stand and do that which God wants us to do. Religious denominations are not going to make the difference, but those who know truth will stand and make a difference. And folks, that's what you and I have got to do. Now this morning, we're going to look at two basic fundamentals that we need to base all that we do for God upon. And we need to do this as we live in this wicked world, and we need to do this as we minister unto those who need to hear the gospel and those that are saved to help them grow in the Word of God. The first fundamental we'll take note of includes the basic fundamental and the reason for our faithfulness within the ministry. And then that second is like unto it, but it relates then to our behavior of faithfulness. Your lips can say one thing, but your actions prove something else, okay? Okay? My wife can tell me she loves me, but when she comes over and takes my hand and puckers up, I know she loves me, amen? Actions speak louder than words. And listen to me, our actions speak louder than words in our Christian ministry. We have to stand for what's truth. These two areas of life, they define faithfulness in ministry. And I want you to look at them this morning. Number one, the basis of faithfulness in ministry. Now, you can look at the outline this morning. I've got the verses there, but I want you to take note of what I'm giving you. Knowing that he would be soon leaving this earth, the Apostle Paul writes this last chapter, this last part of this letter to his dear son in the faith, Timothy. It's the last words that he would ever write before his life ended on this earth. And he charges him with several things. Number one, he charges them with the fact of knowing that God himself witnesses and judges what we do. It is God himself who witnesses and judges those things that we do. Look at verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He said, I charge thee therefore, because of all the things I've told you in the previous chapters. He said, I charge you now therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And what Paul was basically telling Timothy here is simply this. He said, Timothy, my son, you're my son in the faith. Before the eyes and the ears of the very God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved you, I'm challenging you. I'm calling you to remembrance of the ministry that God has saved you to do and called you to do. And that is to be faithful. You've got a responsibility. I commit unto you the same responsibility that I have had while I was here on this earth. And he says to Timothy, he said, son, you're living in a perilous day. Now you think about it. If Timothy was living in perilous times, what are we living in today? My goodness. We have never had to suffer being put to death yet for knowing Christ as our Savior. Now there are many throughout this world have been put to death. The Catholic Church put millions upon millions and still do. Put millions of Christians to death because they would not bow before the Pope. They would not consent to throw the Bible away. As a matter of fact, in those days when they burned them at the stake, many times they would take those Bibles and tear them to shreds and throw them in the kindling and watch while those people were burned at the stake alive. Listen to me. The world today hates it. The Muslim religion today hates Christianity. Absolutely. They hate it with a passion. Absolutely. They hate it. Why? Because they hate the truth. Yes. Folks, today we're living in a day where we're going to have to stand. And Paul was trying to get Timothy to understand the fact, son, I'm going to be off the scene now. I'm not going to be here to encourage you anymore. And you're going to have to stand before God. And you're going to have to remember that the power within God, or the power within you, is from God, and He will help you. And he tells Timothy, he said, God's called you for one purpose, Timothy, and that is to preach the word. Look at verse 2. He said, preach the word without untruth. Preach it without compromise. Preach it without apologizing. Preach it without religious dogmas and man-made tradition. Preach the truth. Because one day, we're going to stand before God. And he said, therefore, I commit unto you. I remind you that it is God who shall judge both the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This book that we hold in our hands, that so many times we take for granted, this book that I've seen people leave it in the back window part of their car to the point that the sun has dried up the cover and it's just rolled up like that. Folks, this is God's word. This is living word. This is the truth that sets every man, woman, boy, and girl eternally free from the debt of sin. And we need to proclaim it. The Bible said in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And there is nothing that man can do against us. Listen, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. If I live in this world, I get to be his ambassador. I get to be his representative. I get to be his servant in this ministry. And he said, and to die is gain. It's like the old preacher said one day, you can't threaten me with heaven, okay? I'm going to blow your brains out. You can't threaten me with heaven. Listen, you and I have so much more to gain. But while we're here, we need to stand true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need to do that? Look at point number two. Because reward awaits. Reward awaits. Now, the Muslims teach that if you take out a whole herd of infidels, then you're going to have 72 virgins, okay, in heaven. And all these other things are going to be given to you if you blow yourself up with a bomb, okay? That is not what the Bible says. That is nowhere close to what the Bible... That is living a wicked, carnal way of thinking, okay? That is not truth. It is not truth. You'll find it nowhere in the Word of God. He might find 72 Virginians with rifles up there, but he won't find 72 virgins waiting on him, okay? All right? But here's the thing. He wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul said to Timothy, he said, in light of this reality, Timothy, he said, I am now ready to be offered. Now, let me ask you something today. If you found out you were about to die, could you witness to somebody else, I'm ready to be offered? I'm ready to go? Listen, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I think that's a song Dolly Parton or somebody used to sing. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. But here's the thing. One day, you and I are going to die. How are you going to stand before God? How will you stand before God? For now, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, I want you to look at it this morning. Paul knew that the day of his death was quickly approaching. Perhaps the guard had come and given him his last meal before his life was to be taken. Perhaps he was reminded that, hey, I've sharpened up the axe and your time is on the way. And Paul says, well, let me finish writing this letter, then I'll be ready to go with you. And he writes this letter to Timothy. Paul knew that he had come too far to turn back now. Folks, you and I have come too far to compromise truth now. We have come too far. We're living in the day in which we are seeing those things that were predicted in the Word of God. They were prophesied were going to happen. We're seeing it come to pass. Don't quit now. Keep on being faithful. This is no time to simply give up, give out, sit, or pout, okay? You get mad at somebody, get right with God and get it right with them and get on together serving God. Good night. Listen, Paul said, I've kept the faith. You and I need to find the grace of God within our hearts to keep the faith. Why? As he said, because there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only. You see, it's not just to the Apostle Paul. It's not just to the disciples, but it's to each of us that we can receive that reward from God. Unto all them that love his appearing. Now you think about it, folks. A reward from the very hand of God awaits each and every one of us. And you know what? We've got to just simply determine that we're going to finish our course. We're going to keep our faith. And even in the midst of opposition or persecution, we're going to continue faithful. We're going to continue to be faithful. Paul reminded those believers at the church of Corinth over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. He said this. He said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. I want you to listen to that. Paul said, for our light affliction. He considered what he was going through, being beaten, being imprisoned, being, you know, out on a ship, shipwrecked three times, all these things. He's beaten with rods three times, thrown in jail and threatened to be put to death. He said, oh, that's just a light affliction. If that is just a light affliction, what are you and I going through today? Not very much, is it? And yet today, folks can't stand faithful because they get offended by something the pastor says. They get offended by somebody that didn't visit them at a certain time during the week. They get offended because this person didn't do this or that person didn't do that. Listen, folks, we need to go beyond offense and we need to be serving God from a faithful heart. Amen? I don't mean to sound mean, but you know what? We've come too far to quit and to just act like little babies in the life of Christ. We need to be found faithful in what we're doing. Child of God, listen, the old song said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this old earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And look what Paul reminded Timothy of in his own life that we was soon about to end. Look what he said. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. For I am ready. Listen to me, child of God. Are you truly ready to die and stand before the Lord and give account unto Him for your life as His child if you were to die today? That's something to think about. Man, I thought this week as I worked on this lesson, I prayed and I was studying. I'm trying to get my heart right to teach you. Man, I have to get my heart right with God in order to be able to stand ready to face Him. I want to be ready. Look what the second thing said. He said, I have fought a good fight. Meaning, he had given his all for the Lord and for the work of the Lord. Let me ask you something today, child of God. When is the last time that you gave your all to anything? When is the last time you and I gave our all to anything? To family? To church? To our work that we're supposed to be accountable for? When is the last time we gave our all for anything? We're living in a world today that has no commitment whatsoever. And whichever way the wind blows, that's the way folks go. You know, if this is more convenient, then we'll go that way. Or if it's easier to do this, we go that way. But folks, faithfulness unto God requires dedication unto God. And that dedication comes from a grateful heart. It comes from gratitude, the attitude of gratitude. And he said, I have fought a good fight. He didn't give up when the going got tough. He did not compromise his convictions for the things of God. He did not stop fighting. He had fought, he had strived, he had given his all, and he had not quit. But look at the third thing. He said, I have finished my course. My wife fusses at me all the time. If I start something, I'm going to finish it. She's got her little business thing going. We had a problem with the computer. The internet the other night was out. Can't run the machine without the internet. You can't live with it. You can't live without it. And the machine wouldn't run. And I called the people, and they were working on it, trying to get it done. She said, I've got to go to bed. I said, honey, we got to get this stuff done. She said, baby, I got to go to bed. I said, well, you go on. I'm sitting up. I'm waiting on the internet. And so I sat there for a little while, and I turned the TV to where that I could have the news come up if the internet came on. And it came on, and it woke me up. And I went in, and I fixed those things for her, had them all done. By 4:30 in the morning, they were all done. And so I laid down from 4:30 until 6:30, and she got up. She said, I guess I'm going to have to go down here and finish this. And I said, go back to sleep. It's done. She said, who did it? I said, the elves. Okay. I did it. I do not like to leave a job undone. Amen. I want to finish it. I want to finish it. I want to finish it. And I want to finish my course. I want to stand before God. And he looks at me. He says, son, you did what you said you was going to do. You finished it. Welcome home. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. We need to do that. But then fourth, look what he said. He said, I have kept the faith. Now, I want you to understand something. To keep something means to not give that something away. Amen. Folks, America has given away her freedom.
Yes, they have.
America has turned her back on the things of God. We have given it away. We have not kept the faith. This definition said to keep means to not give that something away, not to lose hold of it, not to allow anyone or someone to take that something away or to allow that anything to cause you to drop that something or lose it to carelessness. Boy, that's what's happening today in our world. We're losing the fight because of carelessness. What does that mean? It means nobody cares. That's exactly what it means. Listen, we need to fight a good fight. We need to finish our course. We need to keep the faith. Why? Because there is laid up for you, for me, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give us at that day. Do you understand that you and I are eligible for rewards in heaven? For living for God today. This is not this carnal mess that the Muslims talk about, the Hindus talk about, and all these other groups talk about. I'm talking about something that we're going to be given by God that we're going to lay back at His feet from a heart of gratitude. Amen. Write these verses down. There are five crowns that you could be able to win for Christ as a reward for being faithful. Five crowns. Number one, the incorruptible crown. It's seen over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, where Paul wrote, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. Folks, there is an incorruptible crown. Secondly, and I don't have time to go through all these real detail, you can look it up in these verses. But there's a crown of rejoicing that's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul writes this. He says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Could that be that soul winner's crown? When we get to heaven, we see all those folks that we've led to Christ. Man, we see those folks, those parents from school, and the children at school we've led to Christ. You see all those folks out on the street, you've led to Christ. Could that be what he's talking about here? Look, number three, the crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He just told us about this. All right? Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Number four, there's a crown of life. The crown of life that we read about in the second chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Jesus told John, he told those churches, the church of Smyrna there, he told him, he said, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. This is that crown given from God unto those who give their life for faithful service unto God. Those martyrs that have stood faithful, when it wasn't convenient to stand faithful, they stood, they're going to get that crown of life. Number five, the crown of glory. The crown of glory. You think about this. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1, Peter writes this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the crown of glory. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Do you understand what he is saying here? God is saying, I am your reward. I am your reward. God is our reward. He's going to reward those who does the right thing, even though opposition arises. Now look at verses 3 and 4 in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul urged Timothy here to be faithful now. Be faithful now. N-O-W. Now. Why? He said, because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Folks, we are at the edge of that day right now. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know what fable is? It's a made-up story. It's a made-up story. And you know what? We're living in that day, folks. We're living in the day. Whenever you and I, listen, 25 years ago, who would have ever thought that people would turn away the Word of God as they do today? But today, they turn it away. They turn away truth today. But folks, the time has come, and now is, that they will not endure sound doctrine. And today, folks, those people that refuse to hear truth, those that reject the sound of doctrine, of God's holy word, can now find a place, sad to say, to go to church and feel just as comfortable as they feel about being backslidden. They don't have a problem. That's why there's 28, 29 churches in Carroll County, and all of them are preaching different things. That's why you can go to one church and they can tell you, oh, you can go to heaven by just being good. You go to another church down here, oh, listen, just let us baptize you. You'll be okay. Hey, listen, you go over here and sit behind the booth somewhere, pay a man in black some money. He'll forgive your sins. Don't you worry about it. Listen, you can go down to another church down here and they can tell you, listen, God knows our hearts. And he knows that you're really good inside, so you just live the way you want to live. You can find a church on any corner, anywhere, as backslid as you are, and you can feel comfortable there if that's what you want to do. Why? Because you do not want to know truth. But folks, listen to me today. There are places today that are causing people to stray away from truth. And when they stand before God, they're going to give account unto God for those souls that they have sent to a devil's hell. They're going to give account unto God for those folks that they have turned away from truth of this old book for the lust of the flesh and for the pride of life that they wanted to exist. God, help us today. Folks, opposition to truth is going to arise. It's arising now. It has risen its ugly head, and social coercion is all about it. I pass these cars more and more often today. Got this bumper sticker on the back of it. It says, coexist. Okay? Coexist. And it's got all these religious things on there. Coexist. In other words, what they're saying is, you may not like it, but you got to live with us. Okay? Listen, one day God's going to judge all that sin. And you better know the truth, or you're going to be in a heap of trouble. Those that name the name of Christ, when they turn away from truth and they turn away from those things that are right, the Bible says they cause people to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. My little dog, man, she comes up to me. She loves me to scratch behind her ears. And she'll just, her little head will start like this and it'll go like this by the time I just scratch her little ears, and she's just as good and she's fine. That's what people want today. No matter how bad you are, no matter what you think about right or wrong, let me just tickle your ears. Let me just make you feel good about it today, okay? It's sad to say we're living in a world that has condemned truth and has turned unto fables. But here, point number two, is the behaviors of faithfulness and ministry. Listen, we don't need to just say we stand for truth, but we need to put those behaviors into action. We need to put it into action. And if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll tell you about the rest of it, okay? All right? I'm sorry, I just don't have time to go through it. Go through and look at these lessons, verses today. Look at the verses and understand, folks, it's time to put faithfulness into our individual personal ministry. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love you, Lord, and I thank you for the opportunity that you've given unto us to stand faithful. Lord, to be able to do anything for you. God, we thank you for that. But, oh God, let it be said of us that we've kept the faith. We've run the course. We've finished the course. We've kept the faith. We've done what we were supposed to do for you. Lord, one day we're going to stand before you. And, oh God, what a reckoning day that's going to be. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful in all that we do. I pray, God, that you'll bless our pastor as he stands to preach today. Help us, Lord, to continue to stand for the truth and righteousness of this old book. And God will thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in class.